definitely a kill time.
Goes baseline. Kyrie! 39 for Irving.
We made some strides, but, you know, we put ourselves in a hole early. We don't want to do that.
Ball game. I told you, Mike. It's time to party!
Dale Arnold.
Belichick knew exactly what he was doing in the Super Bowl.
That's correct.
No, he didn't.
He was right.
No, he wasn't.
Don't yell at me. Don't I'm just relaying the message
How
here.
Do you feel about it? Do you agree with those guys? No.
Rich Keefe. Dale and Keefe. Middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I thought we were boys. I thought we were pals. We've been working together for a long time now.
Of course we're pals.
I thought we had kind of an agreement going here.
I didn't sign anything.
I gave you money. We were in the studio. I slipped you a 20.
Yeah.
I thought the implicit agreement was you were going to leave all the Bruins scores out of the trending house.
That was
the award-winning trending
house.
Thank
you, Dale.
I thought we had an agreement.
Had to tell the people, just in case they missed it, that they gave up as a team a snowman last night. Oh. Gave up a snowman.
Diossi knows about snowmen. Yeah.
Oh. That was a brutal
game. Out of George Wright, got to drop a snowman on the card. And things.
Yesterday I did, actually. it was just tough to watch, too.
It was awful.
It was, you're sitting there like, dude, do something.
Come
positive.
On.
Find something.
See, like
to,
in the old days, you'd have a fight.
Right, absolutely correct.
Sean Thornton would say, look, I got to change the flow of this thing.
Well, and good news, Dale. They have Torrey Krug for that. What? Right.
Not who I want to see
fighting anybody. Not at all.
And by the way, I give him credit.
He's
for
willing.
Doing
I mean, hey, sure. I don't blame him, but that's not what you're looking for. Yeah. Of all the guys on the team,
not
to
what
sort
we're looking
of
for.
Start something?
So I'm trying to figure out from the Celtics' perspective, do I give them credit for a big comeback win on the road, or do I go, you're down 22 to Phoenix?
Right.
A win's a win. No, they were missing a ton of shots early on. Like, they were getting shots that they wanted. They shouldn't have ever been down as much as they were. The first quarter was a joke. They couldn't make a shot. They were outscored 32-13. I think they scored. Kyrie hit the first three of the game.
Yep.
And then it was all Suns after that until overtime. Like, really, until the very end of the game. They had a big fourth quarter. Marcus Morris hits the big shot. You had a sense that if it was close late, the Suns weren't going to know how to hold on.
True.
So I guess give them credit for that. But the Suns aren't a very good team, and the Celtics made them look a lot better than they were.
Had that been against a better team, it could have been something that you could, hang your hat on, but that's a bad team. You never
should have
been that
position. And you can't be down 22 to
Absolutely
them.
Absolutely right. Absolutely
no,
right.
No, you can't. They're down 22. They were down, 17 in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
And were able to come back and win in overtime. And Kyrie played well. Marcus Morris obviously hit the big shot. He played well off the bench, but they couldn't buy a bucket for the longest time. I mean, it was a 13-point quarter for this team. There should be guys. I mean, I think
Kyrie Irving should be doing that.
T.J. Warren, I think, outscored him in the first quarter. But, the Celtics have a bunch of guys that are capable of double-digit point quarters, and for the team to only score 13 was ridiculous.
Yeah, just it was another one of those things was the early on that was hard to watch. Fourth quarter was fun, but but even so, it's one of those things you look at like, okay, this is fun to watch, but why are they even in this situation? That just, again, use it for what, and Stevens will use it for whatever he can to get the guys a little more motivated or whatever. But, they're just not near what we expected at this point. And that was kind of like an exclamation point to
what
we've seen so far. You know, they still found a way to win the game, but it was ugly.
I'm a little surprised we even have Diossi here today.
Why is that?
By the way, that's Steve Diossi, if you're listening at home. A little surprised because he is college football.
Oh, tomorrow.
State.
Tomorrow, I mean, it's a big day. It's a big day.
What's going on tomorrow?
Not much. Not much. Oh,
somewhere in the other room, Joe Zarbano just hit the floor.
Clemson. The only team in the country that might have a chance of beating Alabama, and they're coming in after scoring, 77 points against?
Give it to me now because I know earlier in the week it was 20.5.
Yep.
Has it changed?
Yes. They've looked at the weather, and that's worth 1.5. It's going to be a little chilly.
Did it go down to 19?
Them boys from South
Carolina.
They're
not going to be able to handle it, you think? You think it's going to be too cold?
No, I don't. I think it's not going to be cold enough.
I
think you'd have to go down to what we had in 1983 against Alabama, where it was 2 degrees below zero and sleet and hail and freezing rain and all that kind of stuff to affect that Clemson team. That's a very, very good team, it's
last four games for Clemson, they scored 63, 41, 59-77.
Oh, yeah, against terrible teams.
So you're saying there's a,
right?
You're saying there's a chance.
Well, NC State was ranked 16th when they beat them 41-7.
That was fraudulent. That was four weeks ago.
Well, hey, it was 3 weeks. Okay, whatever. Right. Whatever it was, it was still on there.
I have no idea. I have no idea. I'm just throwing that out there.
Those are all ACC games. I mean, I know BC's having a nice year. But it is cool. They're going to have College Game Day there. They're making a big. Yeah. Are you the celebrity picker? They ask you to go down there.
No,
no. You and Lee Corso.
I have no idea. No,
be down there at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Get your parking spot. Get ready.
I want to get my tailgating in before the show. Absolutely.
Now look, the good news here is College Game Day's coming to town.
Yes.
ESPN's going to be here for the national show. It's sold out.
Yes.
Alumni Stadium is banged out for tomorrow night. The bad news is they're likely going to get their rear ends handed to them.
And you know, I'm telling you, the BC has faced situations like this before, and usually it doesn't work out great. But there's been some situations where it has, beating number one Notre Dame in 1993, when they didn't think that was possible.
How far back we gone?
Was that Glenn Foley?
Anyway, but the way they did it was not by trying to play the same game as those teams, because you're not, you know, surprising anyone here to tell you that you're not as talented. You're not going to run with teams like Clemson and whatnot. You're not going to match athlete for athlete. But what you can do is be tougher, be smarter, be more physical. Do all the things you have to do that you can easily match them on. You're not going to have if it's a sprint and you got to go against their guys, it's not gonna happen. But if it's a bit of a brawl, now you might have a chance. You can turn that into a brawl. We did that many times.
Why do we think BC could win a brawl against Clemson?
Because
Steve went there.
Could win a brawl against Clemson. Why do we think they can?
Because maybe you can't, but that gives you more of a chance than trying to win a track meet. You're not going to win a track.
Yeah, you're not going to outskill them.
No,
that's obviously not going to happen.
And you can. It's not the bigger, tougher. It's the team that plays tougher that day. We beat teams that were bigger and stronger than us. But you just got to turn it into something different than what Clemson wants. Clemson wants to go up and down the field, score, score, score. They don't care what your offense does, because they're going to outscore you no matter what. You know what? Grind it out. Find a way to change the dynamic. That's really the chance that you have.
I hope I'm wrong, but here's my fear. For the folks who really love college football, and it's a small but very loyal crew in this city. This is a pro sports town. We all know it. You know, it becomes a college sports town about once a year in each sport if you're lucky. For those folks, they're going to be all cranked up tomorrow, and they should be.
Right.
And it's going to be great. And then if what happens is what we think is going to happen, they're all going to go, now nobody will ever talk about it again.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what's crazy? If they do win, if they pull off the upset, it's still not going to be a big story, because the Patriots play the Titans.
It will be for a couple of days.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think it will be. I really don't.
Around here, no.
That's my point.
I think around here, even into Monday, they'd be talking about it.
I think there's too much going on. There's the Patriots play this weekend, the Celtics play this weekend, the Bruins play this weekend. And so even though a win against Clemson is more impactful than anything the other three teams could do, in the landscape of their sport, it's still a bigger story. It's still going
to
get buried.
No, to a point. There'll be more buzz than when they beat Miami. And you know, Miami's not that good a team this year, but there'll be more buzz about it, and it'll be a little more reference in the Sunday papers on the radio or anything. But you're right. By late Monday, it's off the.
I mean, because wouldn't they would have to really get people buzzing about it? And this conversation comes up, I feel like, once a year, but it would have
if you're
to
lucky
be
once a year.
But it's not even the team; it's more how to make them relevant. And then there's you can't, right? There's sort of that, but they have to go to the extreme. Like, you have to be UMass basketball going to the Final Four.
Agreed.
Or you have to be BC. Let's be honest, you probably have to go to the championship or the Final Four.
Curley has to be the storyline and star.
You win the Big East against the best competition in the country.
Yeah, if you have a really good season basketball, and you go to the Outback Bowl, great.
Well, that's the other problem with BC too, is that you could have a 9-win season and still not get that good a bowl, because BC doesn't travel as well as other teams.
They're not going to get picked.
Let's say, call it Auburn finishes 8-4 and BC finishes 9-3, Auburn will get a better bowl because they travel. Mm-hmm. They bring people to whatever the town they're going to. BC could win 9 games and not get that great a bowl. So it's one of those scenarios that it's good to have the whole ESPN entourage here and
yeah,
all the game day and everything.
That's great.
But you also wonder if at some point this game gets out of hand and
I mean, it's good for, you know, just college football in general and for them and for recruiting purposes to be ranked as long as they've been ranked and to have college game day and all that and sort of like you're not just a random team in the ACC. You're a good team in the ACC. Like that helps. Like all that is good. But as far as getting this market to talk about it, you got to do something crazy. Like you got to go to the very top level.
Agreed. Absolutely right. And even that, BC has been in the college hockey finals, Final Four,
a number
of times, yeah. And it's still
it's an even smaller loyal band
right.
of college hockey fans is even smaller than NHL fans. I mean, college hockey's a big deal around here, but for a very small. Finite group of people.
Right.
Exactly. So, you got to do what BC basketball did a few times, get into the Final Eight or whatever, or win the Big East tournament or stuff like that. They've done that before, but that's been a long time since.
That was
but,
I said, like, the Craig Smith teams and Jared Dudley. Time. Yeah, that was a while ago.
But you're right. You literally have to go 10-2 and have a chance at something bigger than the Outback Bowl to get noticed here.
All right, so taking away your, you know, maybe they can turn it into a brawl, which I think they'd still lose. So taking that out of the equation, what equates a successful performance for BC tomorrow, in your opinion? Lose by how many?
No.
cover the spread.
That never even enters.
I know it doesn't. I know it doesn't for athletes. Yeah. You're an analyst. Yeah. You're doing a big college football show tomorrow, my friend. So if BC loses by 10, you're going, wow, this is great. Or if they lose by 20, the spread's 21, do you think okay?
Well, it depends on how the game goes. I was watching that Miami game. I was on the sidelines for that Miami game and. And I realized early on that Miami team's not that good. So beating Miami normally would be a nice little feather in your cap. But I'm watching the quarterback can't throw. All he is a runner, and that team's just not
that
good.
You know what it is? Clemson's the new Miami. Like, if you think about the skill position players,
how
good they are, how they all get drafted really high.
Yep.
Clemson has become Miami.
Agreed.
Like they've sort of taken over, or even Florida State. Like, they've sort of taken and they're probably recruiting down there too, and they're just taking their players.
Yep.
Clemson is that good now. I think, Dale, to answer your question, if it's competitive in the fourth quarter, like if they're watching it in the fourth quarter, I think that's a good sign for them.
Yeah,
and again, it's not going to,
from a viewership standpoint and from a BC football fan, I guess if you keep this competitive.
Because that's what would surprise a lot of people, because like Alabama, LSU, and not to bore everybody with all the college football minutia, but that one, you're like, hey, this is going to be a great game. Then it wasn't.
It just wasn't.
And so rankings can be very deceiving, because Alabama and Clemson and maybe a couple other of the top teams, if they play somebody that's ranked in the teens, you're like, oh, that should be a good game. It's not always,
right.
Especially if one of them's at home. Now, BC is at least at home.
Right.
If this game was at Clemson, I mean, the spread would be like 27.
When you look at Alabama and you look at Clemson, those are different talent levels than the other schools.
That's
the
thing.
Why does BC keep doing this? What are they trying to be? I've always wondered this. I mean, it's like they want to be Notre Dame. That ain't going to happen.
Nope.
So what do they want to be?
They want to compete for a bowl game and
like a Tangerine Bowl. Sorry, Steve. Yeah. I know you played in one of those.
It's a good bowl.
From what I heard, it was a good week.
So I mean, is that as good as BC can aspire to? Do they bring Steve Adazio in and say, look, Steve, you get us to the Tangerine Bowl, pal. We are happy guys.
You're not recruiting like Clemson. You can't recruit like a lot of these Southern teams. You bring a kid up from Florida, you get a good Florida player here, it's probably because nobody down there wanted him.
You got to find the guy that slipped the cracks somehow.
Yeah, absolutely right. And you know, they're not trying to be that team that's coming in to compete for the national championship every year. There's probably maybe a dozen and a half teams that actually think that they're competing for a national championship, when reality is probably about six teams. So
BC's ranked 17th going into this week.
Right. And
when they lose to number two Clemson, they'll fall maybe to 20, 22, 23, depending on how bad it is.
Maybe a little more because
depends on how bad it is.
Yeah.
I mean, is that the ultimate goal for BC? Just be a top 25 team?
That's a reasonable goal. That's nothing wrong with that. And then maybe find a way if you can crack the top 10 here or there. You're not going to compete for the national championship. It's just the way it is. It's the program, the school, everything about it is not designed for that. It's just one of those things where there's the football tradition isn't Michigan or Ohio State or USC or Alabama. It's just not the way it is. But you can't expect this team to compete for 8 wins, 9 wins, maybe even find a 10-win season somehow if things go great. But nobody's sitting here thinking they're going to compete with the Alabamas and the
Clemsons.
These are the last five bowl games that they've played in as a team.
Pinstripe, and what else?
Pinstripe Bowl, the Quick Lane Bowl,
yep.
Pinstripe Bowl again,
yep.
The Advocare V100 Bowl, the Fight Hunger Bowl, the Emerald Bowl. Then you keep going. Music City Bowl, Sports Bowl, Meineke Car Care, MC. I mean, it's just all these, whatever the brand is. Bowl. Right. Like, they haven't been
these
in
December
a marquee bowl in forever.
Bowl games, right? December 20th
and
bowl
the,
games.
And Pinstripe is attractive because, you know, BC people might travel there.
They might drive there.
1984, they played in the Cotton Bowl. I don't know if anything happened that season or anything. I don't remember that one. But since then, there was they had that stretch there, too. Where they were in a bowl game and they won a bowl game all the time. Remember, it was like late 90s, early 2000s. They were in a bowl game every year. They had this long winning streak, but it was all, you know, Continental Tire Bowls.
Right. Dark days indeed.
Well, that's what, but again, they don't, part of the bowl decision is, will the fans come?
That's true. Like, sometimes your record can kind of force your hand because some bowls are predetermined where, all right, third best team in the ACC goes here.
Right.
Right. But then there are other ones, right, where it's sort of like these at-large ones.
Right.
And if they choose between fan bases, they're going to lose every time.
Every time. Right. It's just the way it is. And BC doesn't travel for football all that well. It's a fact. It's not a knock. It's just, there's other things going on that in Boston and for the alumni that matter a little bit more than football. I get it. It's not a big deal. Guys, as long as the team is competitive, works hard, win 8 and you know, 9, maybe throw in something, a crazy 10-win season or
right.
something like that. But
what's nuts is even the year that Matt Ryan got them to number 2.
Yep.
Remember that? They were number 2 in the country at one point. They finished the year 11-3, and they played in the Champs Sports Bowl.
Yeah.
Like 11-3, they were number 2 in the country, and they play in just some random bowl. Like, so obviously they didn't end the way they wanted. So that's the same thing. So right now, BC is 7-2. They're ranked 17th. And if they find a way to pull off the biggest upset of the year, then they could vault up there. But if not, they could get sort of just lost and be in, you know, the Pinstripe Bowl.
You find a way to win this game, you're jumping to
a bunch of spots.
12.
Yeah.
You know, depending on if other teams lose here and there.
It might be the biggest upset in college football this year.
Yes.
I mean, if even at home, and I know they're 17th, but they knock off that team when they're a 20-point underdog.
Purdue beating Ohio State. That was a pretty big upset. That was a pretty big upset. Ohio State was top 4 or 5 at that point.
And we know Ninkovich told us over and over.
That's right.
Because there's only one 2-loss team currently in the top 10.
Right.
You know, so that's where they would be. So that'd be tough to vault all the way up there. But you never know. There's a lot of teams sort of in the 12 to 15 mold that all have 2 losses. So
right.
there's a chance.
Well, and if history repeats itself sometimes, BC will find a way to... Even if they win a big game like this, now all of a sudden you stub your toe against Syracuse.
Right.
They're not bad either. Yeah.
That's weird.
But it's.
What a weird year in football. Yeah. Syracuse and BC are good?
Yeah.
What's wrong with this?
That used to be the way all the time.
No, but then there was a long gap there where
long
they weren't.
Gap.
Yeah, no, you're right. For a while, they both were very competitive.
All right. So give us the plug now. You're on tomorrow.
I'm on tomorrow.
From
4 to, I was told 7:30, but. You know,
you're out of there. You're long gone.
It's an
8
o'clock game. I gotta get a little tailgate time in. Just you know, so
you're gonna stick for the game too.
Four, seven. Yeah, I'm gonna hang for the game.
Attaboy.
Yeah, I'm gonna sneak on the sidelines like I did against Miami. good to know the security guys.
I mean, you know, if somebody did try to give you the bums rush out, don't you pull out the "Don't you know who I am" card?
I've never played that, but but I will scratch.
Fred does.
I will scratch my nose holding a Super Bowl ring.
And yeah.
This little thing. Oh, it's
don't even give it another thought.
I thought you got to dust off your Tangerine Bowl jacket. That's what you got to do. You got to wear that thing.
Hold on a second. You're talking about. It wasn't even a starter jacket. It was a knockoff starter jacket, but it had that bright orange satin finish.
Yeah, oh, that'd be real sharp.
That was sweet.
You wear it a lot now.
It didn't fit when I was 250. How's it going to fit now? Please.
All right, that's our college football.
That's it.
Moment.
We're done. Wrap it up
till tomorrow.
Wrap it up.
Steve's on tomorrow at 4 down at the stadium. John Meter Perel will be on with you.
Yep.
I don't know who else.
Butchie.
Oh, Butchie. That's
Butchie.
Right. Butch Stern.
Take a bow. Listen. Is it okay that we talk about another 7-2 team? I mean, is there only one 7-2 team that we can talk about here?
Let's be honest. The TV ratings for the two 7-2 teams are a little different.
Slightly different.
And we'll talk about that other 7-2 team. It is a Falls Count Anywhere Friday, though, Keith.
That's right.
So
all bets are off.
We do welcome you.
Whatever you want.
By the way, just so you know,
huh?
Eric calling from work.
Yeah.
Made his way onto OMF yesterday.
How'd that go?
And did the whole Michael Vick thing. So we're good for today.
Should we replay it?
No. Oh, okay. No,
I thought maybe
good.
You want to tip
so
into
he was
that.
On yesterday okay. talking to those guys about Michael Vick.
Now, Ross had a good
idea.
And
Lou was going, what
is a
False
Count
here?
Anywhere Friday caller, though.
Yeah, but he was on yesterday.
All right. Okay,
so,
fair enough.
But we'll, you know, whatever you want to talk about. We will talk with Michael Irvin at 1 o'clock. We will talk with Devin McCourty somewhere in the 11 o'clock hour. We've got Keith's Week in Review coming up at 12:30 today, mm-hmm. and a whole bunch of others.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe, WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
How does your body feel? So many of your teammates are banged up, and you took some big hits against the Packers. How are you at this point of the year?
You know what? I'm actually feeling really good. I was talking with my body coach, Alex Guerra, at TB12 Sports Therapy Center. And, you know, this time of year, I actually feel like my body's really broken in, so to speak, to football season. And it's doing what I'm asking it to do. So, you know, I really want to be prepared these last 7 weeks of the season to be my best that I've had all season. And I think we're going in that direction.
How did he not work the phone number in,
great
for God's
plug.
Sake?
Great
that was
plug,
smooth,
Tom.
Right?
That was a world-class
awesome.
Plug for the TB12 That's Performance
TB12,
Center.
TB12 TB12 method.
Here at Patriot Place in Farnborough, Massachusetts.
Can we, let's talk about that a little bit. I don't know what you're referring to.
Why aren't more guys doing that?
Peter King told us the other day when he was on with us that he talked to Tom right after the game Sunday night. And Tom told Peter, and some of it's hyperbole, I understand that. But Tom told Peter, my body feels like I could play a game tomorrow.
Yeah,
I was talking with my body
that.
Coach Alex Guerra at TB12 Sports
Thank
Therapy
you.
Center.
Thank you, Tom.
Wow.
My body coach.
508.
Alex Guerra. Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah. I heard Peter King tell that story, too, and I'm just trying to think, was there ever a time where I felt like that after a game where first off, there's usually a hangover involved.
Well, there could be that. You know, yeah, all right.
Which I'm sure Tom has no problem.
No, that doesn't seem
have.
To be the case with him.
But it was, it's, you know, and I get it. You're not really allowed to beat up on the quarterback, but he still took a few hits.
He still bounced
around here and there. That's still, you know,
he's
you're
pliable,
still,
Steve. He's very pliable.
But not only that, you're still, you know, prepping for the game, getting the whole week of practice, everything. You know, for a quarterback, at least your arm, your shoulder, whatever, you know. I think
part of it is the TB12
sure it
method.
Is.
No. Not necessarily that it works 100%. I'm sure it works for him. My point is he's not going to ever tell you that, oh, man, I need a full week to recover.
My body's like, really broken in.
Right.
He's going to, like, because that also speaks to how great the product is, and that's his business. So, of course, he's going to say. So, I'm not telling you that he doesn't feel good in between games,
right.
But I think there's also a good chance that he's exaggerating a little bit of times. So like, I can play tomorrow. Like,
I wouldn't
well,
doubt it.
You really? You can play tomorrow. Like that's like
yeah. But you know what? The problem is
quarterbacks almost could.
I was going to say the problem is the guys protecting him probably couldn't.
Right, and you the know? Offensive line never could,
right. Or anybody else involved.
I mean, ask James Devlin if he could play a game the next day, and he's saying hell no.
It's like, how does your body feel?
Allen, Brady. You got three guys Those that guys. Could, 50 guys who couldn't.
Like, wait a minute. Allen did run that big decoy down the center of the
you
field
what?
For
Forget
the
free
flicker.
Jess Guskowski.
All right, there
Jess,
you go.
Just those guys.
It is a False Count Anywhere Friday, as it always is here, which means you'll hear, you know, wrestling themes and stuff. It's the first time in the history of Dale and Keith being together that I'm a little jealous of the First Take guys today.
Was
the Nature Boy Ric Flair is on with the
what?
Yes,
I don't know.
They're having the Nature Boy Ric Flair talk about the best records in the AFC, and well, I mean, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, right. Listen, I mean, I can't.
Big football fan.
He's the yeah.
Woo!
And he'll do a pregame speech for anybody who will pay him. He'll go down there. He'll do a little jumbo screen work.
Give me a shirt. Yeah. Give me a check, and I'm there to.
Nobody breaks down the AFC like Ric Flair, like the Nature Boy. Glad he's there.
See?
That's great.
That's an odd
connection there. But fine.
So the Patriots make a quick trip to Tennessee for Sunday.
Yep.
By the way, weather forecast at kickoff, it's supposed to be 50, which sounds great here. In Nashville, it's like, whoa, this is cold.
It is.
Patriots players are going to be, this is just right.
You tell me you're playing in 50 degrees on November 11th or whatever the game is. That's
pretty
fantastic.
Nice. Yep,
take
pretty
that
good.
All day. 50 degrees is about perfect to play a football game.
If you were Bill Belichick, and we know intellectually you could be, but if you were Bill Belichick.
Very similar.
Hello?
They're talking
Steve,
to you, Steve.
What? I was
they're
talking to you.
Talking to
oh,
you.
Sorry.
Come back.
Thought somebody walked in the room.
No, they're talking to you.
So if you were Bill Belichick, would you play Rob Gronkowski Sunday, even if he says he could go, even if the trainers say he can go? Or would you say, wait a minute, Rob, you didn't play last week.
Right.
We got a bye week next week. Let's give you a month between games and get you really feeling good about yourself.
Yes, I would. That would be absolutely the way I'm leaning. If I'm Bill Belichick, I would absolutely have that thought first and foremost. But then I'd watch him on Thursday and see how he runs on Thursday. I'd watch him on Friday, and even though it's not as much running, I'd still watch him and see how he's doing. I would be, and again.
By the way, fantasy owners who have Rob Gronkowski are like yelling at me right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Well, they're going nuts. No, because it's backfired before, because there was a game a couple years ago where he played, but he was really just a decoy. And that's
yes.
the worst thing. Like
yeah.
either have him be active and play him full go or have him inactive. That's what people want.
Yeah, and in the case of a guy like him, don't you want him to be there in December? And
yeah,
the
you
playoffs?
Do. You do. But I don't know. Does Belichick really think about it that way? Because he has acknowledged that the Titans are a great defense, and it's going to be tough to score against the Titans. That's what he's going to say anyway.
Yeah,
you don't think he really believes it though?
I think he's got people believing it.
I mean, I know he talks up yeah. every opponent, but in this case, he's right. The Titans have given up the fewest amount of points
against who?
Well, the NFL
Buffalo.
Teams. NFL. Yeah, they played Buffalo 8 times.
You know, Buffalo. Who else? Who else they played? They played Dallas. Offenses struggling. There's, you know, I appreciate numbers over the course of the season, but some numbers you look into a little bit.
They've played Miami, Houston, Jacksonville, Philadelphia, Buffalo.
Miami, Houston early, right?
When they
Houston,
were awful.
When they were
week
bad.
Two,
yep.
Jacksonville,
yep.
Philly. Philly's a real team.
Philly was struggling then too, but go ahead. You're
week
right.
Week 4?
Week
4?
I'll give you Philly. Who else?
He feels like
what
he should.
What on earth is happening
it
right now?
It was awesome. I can't.
This is the first time this has ever happened.
Keith feels like he's
awesome.
Been dropped into a superhero movie.
You never know. We got
Spider-Man's
Spider-Man.
On the side of the building here.
I mean, so we have windows right on our studio, and then this is the first time ever that a gentleman
I've
has decided
seen this
to
happen
wash
before.
Windows
you just
right
missed
now.
It, I guess. Yep.
Oh, my God. Scared me.
Rappelling down the side yeah. of the building, washing and
I was like, is he trying to get in here?
And bouncing. And he's awesome. Look at that.
So clean though. That'd be clean,
he's
real
he's
clean.
Got this suction cup thing in
yeah.
his hand
yeah.
that he uses just to move from window to window.
I know, right?
They also beat the Chargers.
Chargers good. Yeah,
good,
good
offense, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then Dallas.
How many did they give up to the Chargers?
They gave up 20.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah,
it's a good defense. I'm not gonna sit there and say that's the best defense in the NFL.
I don't think it is either. I think some of the stats could point in that direction,
yeah.
but it's probably not.
Scoring wise, I think they've done a good job, and they've. But the other part of the equation, too, is teams don't have to score a lot to beat them. You don't have to. That offense.
Oh, they're not going to score a lot of points.
Right,
no,
right.
They're not.
So
yeah, they're not
and that's
score.
That's always a – that's unless you're the 2007 New England Patriots, that's a factor. Coaches sometimes, you know, you're up 13 points or whatever. It's 20-7, and that offense over there on Tennessee's sideline can't do anything anyway. You're not opening it up either,
but
too.
But Belichick always talks about how, you know, you can't play scared, or he has the great line about, oh, you tell me when a player's going to get hurt and I'll sit him down. Like,
right.
I love that line.
Right.
Like, but
tell
but,
me when we're supposed to play
yeah,
hard
like, let
when
me know
when we can ease
but,
up.
So but. He's the same guy that this year Rob Gronkowski is playing in preseason games. For years, Rob Gronkowski was on PAT, like for no reason he's
yep.
on PAT, and he got hurt one year on PAT.
Yep.
So I feel like you, I, Dale, we would probably say, hey, you know what? I want Gronk for the end of the season in the playoffs. I don't need him week 10 against the Titans. But I feel like Belichick might go the other way. If he's healthy enough, and I think he might just say, all right, you're good to go. Let's play. We're going to play the guys that are ready.
Yeah, and in this situation, I don't know what the numbers are, but they're not – statistically, they're not missing him a lot in terms of the points scored.
I think it's, like, very even. I forget. They had a graphic during the last game, you know, when Gronk's on the field, when Gronk's not on the field. And as far as, like, yards, points, everything is, like, the same.
They do fine.
It's
pretty... I mean, that doesn't help him, his case,
no,
much. But...
Right. Like, you, I mean, obviously, and you want
way,
him out there.
Yeah,
like,
we all not... think that they're better with him than without him.
Not even a question. Not even a question. But what the Patriots have always done, and you can't really do that. I would imagine over the course of 16 games, having Gronk on the field is going to be worth, you know, 2-3 points a game, maybe, some along those lines on a very healthy Gronk.
Yeah.
But... in maybe not, maybe 2 points a game, but the fact is that right now you can, and that's the other thing you can't even think of because Belichick will melt your mind. we can win. That's the, you know, I'm sure the guys are thinking, you know, not actually, you know what, when you're actually playing, you don't think like that, but you can beat Tennessee without Gronk.
You definitely can beat Tennessee without Gronk. It's not even a question.
You just beat Green Bay without Gronk, Sony Michel, and Shaq Mason.
I know. And you were.
And put up 31 and got stopped on fourth and goal at the one.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. I totally agree, but it also goes against the grain of any old school football mentality that there is. If you're ready, you play. And Belichick's got a little old school in it.
Belichick seems to have always approached it that way, too,
right,
by the way.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
If you're clear, if you're physically ready, you play.
He's old school, but he always throws in the new age sort of wrinkles here, there, too. So he's not, he's always been cutting edge in terms of his NFL philosophies and his play calling defensively and even offensively. You know, and personnel. He's always been. I mean, you look at the personnel moves, and there's nobody, no GM in their right mind right now could look at all the personnel moves he's made over the years and say, "Oh yeah, I'd have done it the same way. I would have done this because
Definitely not.
Well, it's like for years here, the collective media has asked Belichick, you know, why'd you keep Brady in, you know, in the fourth, and he says football players play
right.
And it's like he seems dumbfounded.
Yeah, that's
even
another
asked.
That's another good example. So like, there's plenty of times where you could have taken him out and prevented injury.
And he doesn't do it.
Well, he's with guys like that too. It's one thing if you're like, well, hey, like how many guys do we have? We have to play David Andrews, or like we have to play so and so. But Brady and Gronk are different, but they don't always get treated differently.
No,
as far as playing time, maybe other stuff they do, but not for playing.
Yeah,
time.
I mean, there's obviously different levels for different players. Everybody will acknowledge that, but the idea that Belichick actually said it one time, he intimated to the point, well, I'm taking away any craziness, any, you know, comeback by, you know, Tennessee over Buffalo, Buffalo over Tennessee, whatever it was, any comeback, I'm taking all that off the table. But even with that in mind, you've seen sometimes where the Patriots are up, you know, 21 points with 6 minutes left and Brady's still in there.
And Belichick always says football players play.
Yeah. Again, football players do, but then there's a football player behind
him. Superheroes might not.
But there's a football player behind him backing him up. Why don't you let that football player play?
Now my head's in a pretzel.
Just outsmarted right there. I just
said
that guy's a football
just
player.
Just like Bill Belichick.
They're all football players.
Right. I just went one level up right there. I'm on. I'm out. See you. Bye. I'm done.
Let's get to the calls with you guys at 617-779-7937. Peter's in Scituate. Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Peter, that changed a different color, Dale, so I'm not convinced that is Peter. Working.
I'll put him on hold. We'll check the phone lines.
There he is.
Oh, there we go. Hey, Peter,
now.
How you doing?
Put him up. What up, Peter?
Hey, guys. How's it going
Good.
Today?
Good, Peter.
Hey, we're backtracking to a little bit of college football, but being born and raised here in Boston, we don't know what we're missing with big-time college football. My son's a senior at Clemson, and, you know, this game's huge for BC this weekend. And, you know, and I think if we all were able to experience it like we have as a family, it really puts a lot of the pro sports to shame. And,
what?
You know, the other
stop it.
Oh, no, absolutely.
And, yeah, I really wish I could see more BC football instead of the Patriots on a weekend.
No, I'm not saying that, dude.
Well, you just
I think Peter, let me ask you this. Are you talking about the atmosphere around the game?
Yeah, no, the tailgating and the atmosphere. I mean,
I'll buy some of that.
And the SEC and the Big Ten, Auburn. It's nuts.
Yeah, I'll buy that. I'll bet the
A&M and Auburn, and we would have all of our Clemson stuff on, and
right.
You know, they'd invite us to tailgates and go hang out. And,
yeah.
People get into
when
it.
We
sure.
went to BC. When we went to BC 2 years ago on a Friday night, I mean, I felt like an outsider in my own city, you know, getting yelled at and sworn at, you know, because, you know, that's what us Bostonians do. So, you know, I just hope that the BC fans
not a lot.
A little bit classy.
This guy's on your side, Diaz.
Peter, thank you
for the call. We appreciate
it. Thanks, Peter.
First off, I've been to any number of games at BC and even there's not. BC fans aren't that adamant about their team.
They're
not going to be swearing at you because you're wearing a Clemson
hat. The other thing that's different,
hat.
Too, is there's the only BC fans, at least that I've come across, went to BC. Whereas if you go to, like, Auburn or Alabama, for example, they didn't have to go to those schools.
True.
Maybe they did, and those schools are huge, but they didn't have to go. They just grew up picking a side.
Right.
Like, or Kentucky, Louisville, or whatever. Like, you grow up, you're like, I'm a fan of this. And even if you didn't go there, whereas BC, that's all they have.
The tailgating is great, and the atmosphere is great in college football. The talent level is not even remotely close to what you have in the NFL.
Well, of course not.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Can we actually say somebody going to get their ass kicked? Are we allowed to say that?
We just did multiple times.
I just checking, making sure.
Pretty good.
You could tell it's Balls Count Anywhere Friday.
That's right.
617-779-7937. Steve DiAssi's in the house with us. And
the Hall of Pain.
Hall of Pain.
Yeah.
I got the Nature Boy on the TV up there.
It's all around. You can't avoid it, dude. It's all around us. Like, Balls Count Anywhere.
I told you guys, one of my colleagues was over in Saudi Arabia. He was part of the crew for the event over there. And he was telling me, you know, what a huge deal it was in Saudi Arabia.
I mean, I bet.
For the people there, you know, there was a lot of discussion. Yeah. Should they go? Should they not go? A couple of big-time stars, John Cena, Daniel Bryan, said, we're not going. We're against this. We're not going. But then he talked about what it was like in the facility with the people there. And
how much money they got.
Well, right. there was that.
Specifically,
too.
Right. The money they got.
Right.
The money they got.
There might have been.
Yeah.
Okay, the money might have had something to do with
it as
well.
That may have been the main reason.
617-779-7937. Mike is in. Oh, hold on, Mike. There we go. Mike's in East Longmeadow. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good, guys. How are you?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, I have a question, and there's this debate that's going to go on forever about Belichick and Brady. And this week, I know it wasn't necessarily you guys, but people were talking about that the Patriots have proven that they can win without Gronk, and they have proven that they can win without Edelman. And I claim that they also have proven that they can win without Brady.
Based on what happened
with Matt Castle and based on what happened when he was out for those four games with the Deflategate, I think the percentages are pretty close. And I'm just looking for your opinions. What do you guys think?
I would say no, and I think at the highest level, no. Could they win on Sunday against a particular team? Yes. Could they put together a decent season? Yes. They proved that they could win a Super Bowl without Gronk, and they proved they could win a Super Bowl without Edelman. They could not win a Super Bowl without Brady unless you tell me it's, you know, Aaron Rodgers is replacing him or somebody like that.
Well, the what you're referring to is the 11-5 season that Matt Castle had. Remember, they were coming off an undefeated season until the Super Bowl.
Their roster was pretty stacked.
Yeah, they were 18-1 at that coming off the year before. So
they did miss the playoffs. Like, I know 11-5 usually gets you in, and it's sort of an anomaly. Well, tough luck. Like, you still miss the playoffs that
year. Brady, do they make the playoffs that year? Of course they do.
Yes.
With Brady,
yes.
They make a run at a Super Bowl with Brady there. So, yes, can you win? Sure. Can you win enough, to your point?
Yeah.
No.
Like,
nope.
Can you beat the Titans? Well, actually, the way they're set up right now, I mean, that's also a huge difference between is Brian Hoyer your quarterback or is, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo or whoever. Like, if, like, you know, fill in the blank or somebody else that you made a deal for. Like, it's also, they're not, every replacement quarterback is certainly not the same.
617-779-7937. Kevin is in Newton. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Good. Hey, guys, first time, long time.
Nice. Thank you.
I'll leave my question and hang up and listen on the other side.
All right.
With Gronk seeming to struggle early, do you think he's adjusted his play at all where he's doing something a little different to preserve his body a little better, you know, like Brady has? And, Keith, it's a good thing you left because Sarge sucks.
Thank you, Kevin.
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Steve, what do you think about Gronk?
Well, didn't he come out this offseason as being part of the working with Guerrero and everything?
Oh, he's definitely. Last year he was a big part of it.
TB12 guy last year. And
he was healthy last year.
See, I actually think that's one of the issues going on this year. He was adamant last year that he felt as good as he's ever felt during a football season. I think he was really feeling positive about how things went up until the Super Bowl loss. And now he's hurt.
I feel super, super pliable.
and now he's hurt. And I think psychologically, this is messing with his mind a little bit.
He's like, wait a minute, I thought I got over all this.
I felt great last year.
Right.
Now my back hurts. Now my ankle hurts. You know, come on. I didn't think we were going to go through this anymore.
But I'll tell you what, if to the caller's point about him changing his style of play, I'm actually okay with that. I don't need him
dragging six guys down
the
field.
No, I don't mind if you step out after gaining 18 yards instead of lowering your shoulder to get 20 yards. I'm okay with that. I don't mind later in your career a little bit of self-preservation here and there, because they are taking shots at him. The first thing that happens is they go right at his legs. They're not even and you can't blame a defensive back.
Yeah, what do you want him to do, right?
No, I mean, you can't blame him. You can't blame him. So I got no problem. You know what? If you step out of bounds 2 yards earlier, then you might have been able to fight for another two. I don't care. Live to fight another day. You're the best tight end I've ever seen. I want you on the field. I don't need those extra yards of you dragging a guy
downfield. Our coach is telling him that?
I would think it's kind of a taboo subject, but I would think that it's probably come up in terms of, you know, that fast. If you've been the Gronk for as long as you've been the Gronk, it's hard to all of a sudden say, yeah.
Yeah, because that's what made you so good.
Right,
You were so physically dominant.
It's not even that you're thinking that. You're just like, by reaction, you're just doing the same things that you've always done. But I wouldn't mind seeing him.
A little bit different.
You know, I want him around for the long run. I want him around for the playoffs. I want him around for a number of years to come. I want him here as long as Brady's here.
See, that's why I wouldn't be playing him this weekend.
Yeah,
because if he's got five good games left in him for this year, from a physical standpoint I'm talking about, five healthy games left in him, I don't need him to be now.
Wouldn't you be shocked if he was here for the long haul?
Like I don't Steve think he's going to.
I think this could be it. I really do.
If he was serious rethinking about whether he wanted to play or not after the Super Bowl last year, if that was real, if that was not just the emotion of losing a big game.
Right.
How could he not feel stronger about it this year when he's not as healthy as he said he was last year?
I'll give you two reasons. First off, what are you going to do next? Are you going to stop playing football? Is that what we're talking about? Or are you talking about going to another team?
No, I think done with football.
Okay.
That's what I think.
So then what are you going to do? You're not going to be The Rock.
He's not going to be John Cena. No.
All right? That's just the way it is.
But you know what? You might be healthy.
Okay. And
healthier. I mean, I guess
there's generations of guys that have understood that and known that you're going to pay the price later on. But it's tough to give up sometimes. And for someone who plays the game the way he does, someone who seems to love football as much as he does.
See, I would stop you right there. I think maybe that has also changed.
Like the love of football.
I think overall, if you ask me, hey, do you love football? Yeah, I love football. But I think some of the training methods and everything else, getting ready for the season, he doesn't love. And I think even game day, you know, he's getting three catches. You know, and that's not what he's used to doing. And I wonder if that starts to take a toll.
I'm sure it does. But then also you have a situation where you're okay. Am I just having a little pity party here, or do I need to step up and do what I always did and be the Gronk?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some of that. This is also his ninth year in the
league. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's a good career. That's a really good career. I mean,
especially
Tony Gonzalez
considering
is his
how
own
he
thing.
Plays. You know, Stephen Gostkowski having a long career. You say, okay, good. He's avoided the big hit by.
No, but a guy who was hurt coming out of college with serious injuries. And
slipped
for him
to the second round.
Yeah, because and of fighting it. Through injuries and a number of different injuries throughout his NFL career to still be around in his ninth year is pretty impressive.
Here's my fear for Gronk. I think the minute you even consider the fact that it might be time to retire, you've retired. You may pull out another year, but the minute you're even talking
it all of a sudden it has to affect your play. It has to affect how you approach the game. It has to affect how you, especially if you're a very physical player, if you start thinking, okay, this is my last year, now all of a sudden it's not hard for the idea of, hey, I got to protect myself a little bit to creep into
it does change you a little bit.
Into your thought process.
But you were saying, hey, it's okay to step out at 18 instead of lowering your shoulder. Aren't you playing into that as well?
No.
You've already talked about the possibility, I got to decide whether I want to still keep going.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, as soon as you even say that, you're done. You might sneak another year out of it. You might sneak two at the most.
That part of being smart and stepping out is not that's not raising the white flag. That's saying I'm living to fight again and again and again. And being smart about it. I mean, why would a quarterback slide instead of try to get that extra yard? Because you got to be smart about it. That doesn't the fact that Tom Brady slides instead of getting hit doesn't make him think that it's over. It makes him think I'm doing the smart thing so I can kick some more butt on the next play. That's the mentality. I know what you're talking about in terms of not lowering your shoulder, but so you sell out for one play where you can help your team win. It's a big picture thing, and the reason that sometimes it takes guys a few years in the league to understand it is because when you're young, you're not that bright and you're full of it and you want to run people over. But as you go along, you're like, there's a big picture here. And the big picture is winning and going to the playoffs and winning championships. So maybe it's the smart thing to do instead of trying to be macho all the time.
Really soft.
Yeah, it's just it's one of those things that you can absolutely be Gronk and still not have to smash every defensive back and linebacker that's in front of you. You can still be Gronk. He's that.
It doesn't
talented.
Take a little bit away, though. I mean, he'd still be very good, but again, part of what he does, he's just
you
so physically
Jimmy,
imposing.
You don't become Jimmy Graham. All
no,
of a sudden,
no,
right?
You're not Jimmy Graham. No. But if all of a sudden, like you're running out of bounds, or you're not, throwing guys out of the club like he used
that's
to do.
That's why
or,
I took him and threw him out of the club.
Right.
Yeah, like you're not doing all that stuff. If you're not the most physical tight end in the game, aren't you now what?
So what do? You push your ego aside for the good of the team? Is that a bad thing? Is that because you all of a sudden you
I guess my question you want to be Gronk. Is that for the good of the team? Or do they want like you? Like they want the guy you've been this your whole
they
career.
They want Gronk.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Do. So do you want that Gronk for half a year or do you want him for 3 years?
I want the Gronk forever, but you're not I would rather you're gonna get some imposter Gronk for 3 years.
But hold on a second. Do you want Gronk the talented pass catcher, receiver, route runner, or do you want Gronk that's throwing guys out of the club?
See,
that's one play.
I think if he is that, no, I know that's one. I'm just trying to say, but like that whole mentality of going for contact and being that guy, I think he could still be good, but he might not be great anymore. Like that's part of what makes him the best there ever was.
So then give me, put a number on it, 10%. Give me 90% of what Gronk is for another 3 years instead of 100% of what the Gronk is for the rest of the season. I want Gronk is that talented a receiver that you can live without throwing guys out of the club. I just that talent level is unique.